You're listening to a Between the Lines Studios podcast. You can learn more about this show and other Between the Lines shows at BetweenTheLinesStudios.com.
Hi guys, this is the very first Wayward Hacker Kickstarter podcast. We're going to be doing this every Thursdays from now on, hopefully, about 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on. Try to keep it short so it's not too long, because, I mean, most of the time you don't want to have a podcast go so long that you're kind of still listening to the one that you started with when the next one comes out. So, like an hour-ish. We're going to be talking about the Wayward Backer Facebook group, some of the other cool things that they have going on, places on the internet where you can find them and people associated with it, cool Kickstarters, Kickstarter creators, and just other cool stuff associated with the group and its members. So, Tabs, you wanted to take over introducing everybody, so go ahead.
Yes. I would like to introduce Shane, the guy that was talking earlier. He is the founder of Start Studios, artist, and has done multiple Kickstarter projects, so he's very... very in the know about Kickstarter. We also have me. I do public relations, social media, advertising for various Kickstarters. We have Justine.
Hello.
Justine is the founder and our fearless leader for Wayward Backers, and she's going to talk a little bit about Wayward Backers and what all that entails. We have Tro, my good friend, who's awesome. She works on very many things, including her own Kickstarters. She is Little's Lovecraft, if you know that Kickstarter. She also does a lot of layout for the Writhing Dark anthology and general awesomeness. And then we have Lucian.
Hi, guys.
He is the project manager, puppet master for Start Studios. And there's also William, who is one of the members of Wayward Backers and a Kickstarter enthusiast. Say hi, William.
Hello.
And then we also have Aaron here, and I don't think he's talking right now, but he's here.
Talking.
Oh, you're talking. Hi, Aaron. Aaron is also the co-founder and fearless leader of Wayward Backers.
Like, some of the, we'll have, you know, some people chiming in as we go throughout. It's not going to be, like, so structured, but hopefully Aaron will be able to pipe in, because I know he's hiding in his office at work. But So what we're doing tonight and for the next couple episodes that we're running this is... trying to give away some cool stuff just to kind of get people involved with the episode and or the show and get people watching it as we do other ones. So tonight, one of these guys, let me set this aside here, which is one of the Cthulhu's Prison coins associated with the Writhing Dark Kickstarter that just completed. So there was a lot of people that didn't add this guy to their pledge, and as a result, it was kind of limited. And, I mean, not to disparage any of my other things, because I think they're all cool, but I was really pleased with the way this turned out. So tonight, if you want to share the podcast, the link to the live stream that we have going on right now, or the show when it goes live up on YouTube, you can do that with the hashtag WBKS podcast, if you want to share it on Twitter, or if you want to just share the page on Facebook, you have to make sure it's shared publicly. We're going to go through at the end of the show and pick one of the folks that was sharing using our hashtag, and they will get this included with their order. And if you weren't one of the backers of The Writhing Dark, you can contact me afterward and, after I announce you on the show, and we'll make sure we get it out to you. But these guys are really cool, and there's not a whole lot of extra, like maybe like 20 or 30 on top of the order. I ordered like an additional 10% to make sure in case of damages that I had enough to fulfill it. So there are some, and we'll be giving, you know, cool things like this away hopefully every episode, but not this particular thing because there's really not that many of them left. So again, the hashtag is WBKS podcast, or share it publicly on your Facebook feed, and that could be for the YouTube feed that you're watching right now or for the show when it goes live later. So one of the things we wanted to start talking about tonight, and one of the core things that the group was formed around, was around Kickstarter, specifically the dark depths of Kickstarter-fueled addiction that people can get propelled on as you find cool things online and these neat little esoteric things tucked away in corners of Kickstarter that you can't find anywhere else. So the group was actually formed around a particularly large Kickstarter that launched last year that was around Patrick Rothfuss's Name of the Wind playing cards. But since then, we've gone on to have creators of dozens of different projects, as well as like projects that are just brought to us by members of the community. And it kind of built organically around that, to where people who supported these other projects would invite other people and so on and so forth. So we do want to talk about Kickstarter, specifically like some of the cool things we like about it and how it affects, you know, other social communities. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's foolish to assume that we're the only group of people that kind of have come together like this. I mean, Kickstarter itself is a social community. So we're going to talk about some of the projects we're watching and some of the cool ones that are ending soon, so hopefully draw some attention to them. And hopefully, you know, later on in other episodes, we'll maybe have other creators here to talk about their projects too. So we want to start it off kind of like just a discussion, so it's not so, you know, point-driven. But Tabs, was there a couple projects that you were watching or anyone that you wanted to talk about in particular?
Well, there's Pirate Den, which I'm helping with. It's awesome. It's Bojan Radakovic's tabletop game, and it is close to funding. It's got 7 days left, I think. It needs about 3,000 left. But it's really cool. It's got very cool artwork. It feels very Disney-esque to me. And pirates. Who doesn't love pirates?
That was the first thing, like, when I saw the art for that, that was the first thing that brought to mind to me, like, was kind of vintage or classic Peter Pan, right? Like,
yeah.
The original Disney illustration. It was really awesome. Yeah. Who's the name of the artist that was working on that?
Todd, I forget his last name. He also has done illustrations.
It's an interesting game.
What? He also did illustrations for a really cool book series, How to Be a Hero. It's like a middle grade novel series, and he's worked on several other games. And I'm bad at names. People should just know this about me.
It's okay. That's why I have them written down.
Right.
let me look at the Kickstarter. Like a dork. His name's...
Yeah, it's really pretty. I mean, he had some kind of celebrity spots in there too for stretch goals. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Todd Harris is his name.
Todd Harris?
Yes.
I know Todd Harris. He did some work for. He's done work for a lot of video games, hasn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did a bunch of stuff, and I think the thing he's most famous for is Nightfall.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Nightfall game. Yeah, it's beautiful artwork. And check out his, it's like the hero's guide to being an outlaw, hero's guide to being, very small RPG-ish kind of story for kids. That it's really cute and awesome books.
Actually, I think Nightfall was done by Thomas Deaney, who did the graphic design for
Yeah, he did. Yeah, you're correct. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'll be sure to include links to Todd's website in the show notes as well, but he's done some, I mean, I'm looking at some of the stuff now. This is pretty awesome.
Yeah, he did Hero's Guide, so that's for sure.
Yeah. And then for anybody who's watched Tabletop, Bojan is the producer of Tabletop, so basically the stuff that you see on Tabletop is pretty much him. He knows games like the back of his hand, and he created and published 12 Days, which was on Tabletop last Christmas season. Mm-hmm.
That was also kickstarted, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the cool things. I kind of wish, I know I don't want to disparage anything or the people who supported it, really, but it's kind of surprising to me that that's not doing better, because there's a lot of stuff in the gaming community that is owed directly to the stuff Boyan's been doing, like Tabletop Day, for example. I mean, it's been hugely popular. I mean, you have lots of, you know, friendly local game stores all over the place doing it, and that was his idea. I mean,
yeah, and that's this weekend, guys, so go play more games.
So what kind of game is it? Now, looking at the description, it says it's kind of like a bluffing game. Have you played? Yeah. You've played some of it with Bojan, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a simultaneous play bluffing game. So it's really fun because you can totally get into the pirate aspect of it. You can either you play cards to say what you're going to rob. You can either rob three of these ships that are in the middle that are different fleets. Or you can rob another player. So it really comes down to trying to figure out what they're going to do, and I like that aspect of it.
So there is a direct competitive element to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, totally. And you can even, there's even like a, there's a coin that you can get with this, and you can do a challenge, like a bet side part of the game, where you bet and say, I totally know Shane is going to steal from, you know, Lucian this time, and then get more points for the end. Plus, the game is just pretty. It's like all the games that Bojan does are really high quality. So these have like little gemstones, and they're gorgeous. And there's pirate treasure chests available in the Kickstarter and things like that.
Yeah, I backed, well, I didn't back, but I bought a copy of Camden, which is the game that he had funded on Kickstarter just before this one.
Right.
And the quality on his stuff is amazing. Like, all the tiles came pre-punched and sealed, so it's not, there's not any, like, the constantly searching through stuff. Like, there's, the tokens come in a nice bag that's not going to, like, fall apart. I mean, it's just, it's like a lot of little stuff, but it adds up to make a way better, like, product.
Yeah, and the Camden game, if you've seen probably the tokens that are in that are probably going to be the treasure for Pirate Den, like those similar style stones.
Those kind of beasts.
Which are beautiful.
Awesome. So my project I wanted to bring up, so when I launched Writhing Dark, so some of you guys probably, if you're watching the podcast here, certainly the Wayward people know me from some of my playing card projects before, but there are these guys at Gambler's Warehouse, which is a distributor of playing cards, who have been like hugely supportive of my stuff from the start. So they just launched their own Kickstarter projects for the Double Black playing cards. It's a really simple quality custom deck that they launched, and they've got some good people on board to make sure that it's good stuff. Now, the face cards are what I like the best about this. They're traditional face cards, so they're traditional kind of mirrored designs, but they actually went through and took the time to redesign and make them look really cool. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, they're awesome. I'm not a tremendous fan of the black cards for one reason only, because when you shuffle with them a lot or use them a lot, they start to flake and you can see through them. But for flourishing and for, like, magicians and stuff, they're gorgeous. And they have, like, a neat offset counter field on them with a faded pattern. They did a really good job with it. So, they got about 19 days left to go. It's definitely going to fund they've already met their goal. And Eddie got in touch with me to talk with him about it. So, I'll include links to that project in the show notes as well. But if you like playing cards, I mean, it's pretty awesome. And they kept the price to get involved at it, you know, fairly low. I mean, it's a single deck is $11 anywhere in the United States. For a branded deck, it's relatively low for custom stuff anymore. You got any ones you're watching, Tro?
Not really right now. I backed this one called Edgar Allan Poe Illustrated, which is a really pretty, really pretty illustrated book. But that's pretty much the only one that I'm watching right now. Most of the stuff that I was watching has ended, or the ones that I'm looking forward to haven't yet started.
Cool.
So, other than Pirate Den, of course.
That artist for that Poe project actually got in touch with me. I was talking to David Flores.
Flores, yeah.
David Flores. I was going to make sure that I include an update on, you know, to my backers on my project page for him, but he was talking about some kind of doing a project, so let's see what he has.
Nice.
I love his stuff. It's amazing.
So. Yeah, it's real pretty.
What about you, Luke? You watching anything?
I'm watching Enemy of Man, which is a movie.
Yes.
It's, who is it? Sean Bean, Rupert Grint, and Charles Dance. Those actors in a retelling of Macbeth. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's going to be awesome, but it's also not doing so great. It needs some more money, and it doesn't have that much time left.
It's got 66 hours, and it needs about 60,000.
Yeah.
Rally time.
70,000.
70,000, so,
yeah.
It looks so good, though, guys.
It does.
It looks so good. I wasn't going to back it, but then I was like, oh, Macbeth and these actors, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, Sean Bean is Macbeth, so.
Yeah.
So for those of you guys who just joined on YouTube, we've got a lot of people watching now. So if you wanted to throw in the YouTube comments any Kickstarter projects that you're watching, you probably can't push the link because it won't let you. But if you put in the name of the Kickstarter project, we'll definitely bring it up a little bit later on before we close out. And I'll make sure to put the links to the project in the show notes, too.
Yeah.
And, there's quite a few people that have tweeted with that hashtag, so I'm going to have to go ahead and get a randomizer set up so that we can do that at the end of the show. What about you, William? You watching any Kickstarter projects or anything cool out there right now that you've supported?
Most of the ones that I was looking at have already ended. One in particular that I thought was really kind of neat was a Star Trek Kickstarter called Prelude to Axanar. It has, among others, Richard Hatch in it, who was on the original Battlestar Galactica and the remake. He played Apollo, and then Tom, what the heck was that? He was a bad guy in the remake. But the Kickstarter was really cool. They're doing like a prequel movie to raise money to do an actual movie, and it's kind of like a look back, a historical documentary about this battle that was one of the turning points for the Federation and the Klingons.
That's cool.
It was really cool looking. The special effects were awesome, considering these guys have a shoestring budget, and the story looked pretty interesting. So
that sounds pretty cool.
And it successfully funded. Like, they were only looking for $10,000, and I think they capped over 100.
How long ago did it close?
Sorry, say that again.
How long ago did that close?
3 or 4 days ago.
That's awesome.
So yeah, behold the power of Kickstarter. I really liked it because it was just a couple of guys, a small production company, and it's one of the things I like about Kickstarter is that you can fund both little things like that, or like the other thing that I'm currently involved in is Dwarven Forge's cavern tile set.
I saw those, man. Those are awesome. You want to talk a little bit about those? Because there's some people who may not be clear as to what exactly you use those things.
You use it for miniature gaming. I've been a big supporter of theirs for a long time. I have several of the ceramic sets that they have, but they were very fragile. And this stuff that it's kind of like a plastic polymer stuff that you can drop it off of a building, you can run it over with a car, and it springs right back. It's really cool. And it is definitely going to fund. They're up over $1 million, I think, already.
Yeah, wow. their last one did really well too.
Yes. And the really neat thing is they added stretch goals that they basically are giving you extra pieces.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
So
we have more money, so we're giving you more stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's they're doing this because the dies to make these pieces are so expensive. So
right.
that's what they're actually getting the funding for. And then once they've got that, then they're golden.
That's awesome. Their first one blew up. I mean, it's like the first one they did was like over $3 million or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was crazy insane. That was my first Kickstarter I backed, actually.
Was it really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then
I remember you coming home and talking about that.
I don't remember what the next one, I think, might have been the Name of the Wind. And then there was a wayward backer who did a poetry book, Sasha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And then that was the beginning, and yeah.
Sasha incidentally did some poetry for the Writhing Dark anthology. I think she had two entries in there.
Two entries in the ebook and one in the print.
Tro also did all the layout for it and has an entry in the print book and ebook, right?
Yep.
Cool. So, like I said, if you guys have any ideas on different projects we should, you know, shine a light on, go ahead and throw them in the YouTube comments. Like Kenneth Hayes has one up here for playing cards. People you interested in that sort of stuff. There's playing cards for Conquerors, and then there's the Viking Blizzard Wing. Stephen Candy's talking about Sprocket Games' new Kickstarter of Mice and Lemmings. Now, Sprocket, I've actually worked with those guys before. They designed Ace of Spies, which was a game we put out while I was under contract at Albino Dragon last year. So that's Mark Rivera and Michael Fox, I believe. I might have the names mixed up. But, yeah, they make cool, like, little mini casual games. They did this one. They did Chicken and Fox. They did Luchador, which was a dice-based Mexican wrestling game not too long ago.
I love Luchador. Luchador is so much fun.
Daniel Marshall talks about rebuilding the realms of Twilight. I saw that Kickstarter. The artwork is amazing. So if you're like a fan of fantasy, that's huge.
Aaron wants to talk about what Kickstarters he likes.
Okay, Aaron.
Yeah, I'm cheating. I was going to go on the playing cards as well, and somebody that you've collaborated with in the past, Shane, is the Independence deck by Jackson Robinson in King's Wild. So,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
That's going on. I think it ends on April? April 10th. Mm-hmm. But any history nerds out there who like the Revolutionary War period, it's kind of a homage to that, and it's just... He usually has some pretty good quality. So it's a pretty impressive deck. Go check it out. And also one not as popular, but still really a beautiful deck, is called Clipped Wings.
Yeah, I was looking at one.
Yeah, he previously did a deck called Curator. It's not your typical playing card deck, as it's more, it's very much a form of art. Even their non-face cards are, every single card in the deck is custom, with different types of artwork. And he has I think he still has some early birds left with a deck and an uncut sheet. And this is a real, real pretty uncut sheet. So that's another good one to go check out.
All of the cards from that deck were actually part of an installation of collage artwork, were they not? I thought
that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty amazing like feat to take that and shrink it down. It'd be cool if he addressed some of the process that he had to go through to get those into. I mean, did he just take like really high res photographs and then shrink that down for Bicycle to work off of? We need to see how they did that.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure.
It's a nice one to check out. And then lastly, one that's been pretty popular at the Wayward Backers is the Power Prince. And I think they're on Power Prince 3. And again, it's just a Rob D. I can't remember his last name. I'm sorry, but I think it's called Sketch Art. Or hold on, I guess I should have been a little bit more prepared. It is called, come on, computer. Sketchcraft.
They're geeky yep. art prints.
Yep, it's put on by Sketchcraft and Rob Dunas. And just homage to, I keep saying homage, it should be homage. Marvel characters, Zelda, like old games, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but just definitely in our geek alley for sure.
That's all. Yeah, Jackson's stuff I can attest to. I worked directly with him when I did a guest card on his Sherlock project, and he's a pretty laid-back dude, and he makes some amazing cards. So if the Independence decks are anything like his Federal 52 or the Sherlock stuff, they'll probably be, I mean, as high-quality playing card as you can get. I mean, yeah. It's just bar none. He's the best at what he does. And he's good at fulfilling it, too. That's a big deal, too. Some of the playing card projects that came out in the last couple of years have had some difficulties. Like, there was that design, Department of Design project had some trouble, and then I think the Hedge did, too, didn't it? There's been a few that have had some issues with fulfillment, but Jackson knows his stuff. So, again, and we'll make sure, like I said, that we have links to some of these in the show notes. Let me see if there's any other ones out here. Katie is talking about the Executioner's Mask. I didn't even see that one. Let me look at that one real quick. Anybody else hear about that one?
Yeah, it's a goggles.
I know what it is because I've seen it, but I don't know much about it.
It's kind of steampunkish.
Mm-hmm.
It looked really neat.
Wow, that's pretty trippy looking. I don't know where you would wear that. To Walmart?
With some sweatpants.
Tees, apparently. High tea. That's where you wear it. High
oh, tea. Dude, that plague doctor mask is amazing. That's awesome. Yeah. Just wear that into the bank. Walk in. Hello!
And watch them push the silent alarm.
They trip the silent alarm. But that
you're
going
to get tased.
They've got 23 days left to go on that one, and it's $44 over their goal. So, that's actually not that bad of a deal. I've seen this sort of stuff on sale at places like Gen Con and other conventions for way more than this.
Yeah.
Way, way more. So, see if there's any other cool ones on there. Number 11 debut album, Follow the Song, to be recorded at Wishbone Studios April 14th from Bernard Bullhack.
Yeah, Bernard's in the Wayward Backer group.
And if that's up on Kickstarter, it's...
It's not on Kickstarter. It's on a crowdfunding site.
Oh,
their Kickstarter didn't... fun. So, they moved on to a different crowdfunding.
NMBR11. Follow the song. It's in the comment section, and we'll put in some of the stuff in the show notes as well for it. So thank you, Bernard.
Yeah.
And
it's really good music. So if you like guitar rockabilly-ish music, rock music, I should say, it's good.
Sweet. And again, guys, if you share it via the hashtag or the link on Facebook, or even just share the YouTube link, we can add your name to the list. So far, we've got Katie, Steven, Kristen, Michael, Chris Warden, Kenneth Hayes, Hans Bocher, and a bunch of others that are going to be part of the drawing. So share the link, and we'll do the random drawing at the end. So like that begs a question. Like, if these are the ones you guys are watching, what kinds catch your eye? I mean, there's always like that particular stuff. Like, you can't see it because it's in my old office, but I have like shelves upon shelves of just useless toys, which is kind of like the mark of you know, failure to launch adolescent problems. But I just love them. So like, I look for that sort of stuff on Kickstarter. I love those little statues and quirky things. But like, what kind of projects do you guys look for? Does any kind of run the gamut, or are you any one particular thing? I know people like the deck projects. People who collect them kind of zero in on them. I think that's probably because there's kind of like that. I don't want to call it Pokemon thing, but it's like you gotta collect them all. But
yeah, for me, I like playing cards because I don't like to put art on my wall, and yeah. I get a whole bunch of art in very small form, which is really nice. So when I look for projects, usually I'll either back something because I like the person who's backing it, or because it has really gorgeous art, or it's a film project that I really support, or mm-hmm. something like that. But I like pretty things.
Yeah, kind of the same here. I think art kind of catches the eye first and foremost. Obviously, I think a lot of us are kind of genre collectors as well, so mm-hmm. if we see something in our particular fandom, we usually kind of gravitate towards it and stuff. But I'm mostly card collecting, but I've got a few graphic novels on there that I really like. One of the first projects I ever backed was God Hates Astronauts, just a hilarious one. Squitter, which kind of falls into the Cthulhu theme a little bit, but Ben Templesmith, is it?
Yep.
Just a really cool, real cool style of art and stuff. And then obviously anything Shane puts out there is usually take my money.
Pretty much.
Shut up and take my money. So.
Pretty much.
But yeah, it's kind of an art thing. And then I don't know, for the first time ever, I kind of backed a children's book, this Lovecraft book.
By the person.
Yeah, but same with Troll too. If you like, there's a lot to be said about a good project creator or good project creator as well. You know, somebody who engages their followers, engages their backers, and somebody you can trust to deliver. And I think you can really weed out the people that are just on there immediately to make a dime versus those who kind of embrace the Kickstarter community.
Yeah, I've dropped projects that I liked because I didn't like the creator.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I've had exposure to a couple projects where it did kind of seem like it was, and this kind of segues to a point that I was going to make previously, but it's like there's a, like you say, there's a kind of a creator that's there just to get money, almost. There's nothing really wrong with that because that's what you need to make stuff. I don't think money's the bad part, but like actually making it an experience where the community makes the product better is missing in a lot of projects. And where it happens, and you have that dialogue, I think you get better stuff. I mean, that's been nice.
I think so too, and I think that's what Kickstarter kind of is all about to me. And what really got me into Kickstarter, because I'm also an artist, and I just enjoy how it became a community for artists to help one another and to get their work out there, but also be able to interact better with their audience and help them, because if you have people who are willing to help you make your product better, then I don't really understand when you don't take up that opportunity.
Yeah, it's a platform where you can raise capital. So there's always going to be companies that are using it for that. And I don't think that's in and of itself a bad thing. But I don't think that should steal the purpose away from people like Tro, you know, who's a content creator working with her sister Io to make something awesome. Like, what they're missing is that access to a group of people who are willing to pay for that project to make it happen. So there's kind of, I don't know, there's something to be said, like, for keeping it more oriented towards people doing that.
I think it's important if there is a company on there, and like, you know, Veronica Mars and Zach Braff, like, they probably could have raised the money on their own, but it's also a way for them to gauge the audience and the fandom to see if there is something out there and to prove that there's something out there,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and then the nice thing about Kickstarter is if you're the kind of person who wants to support artists and creators who are making their own product, then go ahead, and it's easy to tell who those people are.
Right.
And if you're just interested in being a part of a project, regardless of who the creator is, you can back those too. Nobody's making you choose either way. And I like I really like having that choice, and I really like being able to decide whether or not I want to interact with a company.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I personally tend to only back very small companies or individual creators as opposed to larger companies, but that's my personal choice, and I like that there's an option there.
Yeah, because I like the idea of, you know, even if the big company there, you can still feel like there's a passion for the project. Like, oh guys, we really want to do this video game, but it's not going to happen. Like, people are telling us that this is not viable. Prove that it's viable, you know. Prove that this is what you want. That's what I think Kickstarter is good for big companies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And when companies are using it just as a pre-order system, you can tell.
Right.
So,
yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's not something that you can kind of. It's one way or the other, isn't it? I mean, you can tell it from the way the pledge, all the way up from the way the pledges are organized to mm-hmm. the feedback that they give in their comment section. Like,
yep.
But even with some individual content creators, you can tell that it's a pre-order. Like, you can tell that that's the way they feel about it.
Right.
Because you don't get that interaction. I think that's what we were talking about earlier. Like, if somebody's not taking feedback, like, I really like your thing, but I think that this would be better, and they don't, like, they're like, well, it's whatever I wanted, you know, then I drop the project, because I'm like, well, then why are you on Kickstarter? Because this is a community.
So that's a good question. Do you think that that's, like, somebody just not getting Kickstarter, or is that something where a backer is just not prepared towards the amount of work that goes into running a project?
Well, I think it's the whole thing of, like, well, if one person tells you, then you can just, like, oh, maybe that's not a good idea. But if a bunch of people are telling you the same thing, then, and they still ignore it, or you don't explain it, then that's a terrible thing. I think it's the volume of people. Because, yeah, a lot of people are going to tell you, oh, I wish that thing was purple instead of green, you know? And that's
or blue.
Right? Add more blue. but if a bunch of them are like, you know, oh, your thing that you made would be great if you added this feature, and they're like, no, I'm not going to. Or instead of like, well, we can't because that would cost another $50,000 in the prototype, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's the difference, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I've been a part of a lot of Kickstarter projects and, you know, helped kind of get them out there and get the word out and so on and so forth. And I've always noticed that you see way more investment when you actually approach it as a collaboration. And I don't know, people are kind of, some people, not, I don't, it's not disparaging, it's just a observation. Some people are loath to do that because they have the thing they want, and that's the thing they came to make. So
sometimes
it can seem standoffish, I think, but it really it's just kind of maybe somebody's just like, well, this is my creation, right? This is what I'm here to put out, and I don't really feel like changing it because, you know, I already put this much work into it. It's a good and a bad thing. I don't know. I think in that case, if it's an honest thing as opposed to just treating it as a pre-order, it's a good thing in that you get a less, more honest, I guess, vision of what the person had in mind when they first sat down to make the thing. But it doesn't always, it's not always going to make as popular of a project. It's really kind of more hit or miss there, I think.
Yeah. And if it's something you can change, then you can explain why not, you know, like I said, like, oh, I'm not going to add more blue because the purple is symbolic of this thing. Like, this is how I have it in my head. And then that makes me more excited about it because it is more, I feel like I had my input and you listened and you told me what you thought. But I was like, I was backing one project that I was really excited about. It was a movie with people that I loved. And they showed some of the graphics that they were going to use. And it was for a game that I thought was super family-friendly, and the graphics were not. And I emailed the creator. I'm like, can you make that a little more family-friendly? Because the game that you're making this movie based on is very family-friendly. And he totally ignored me and then never said anything. And so I was like, I'm dropping your project.
Yeah. There's been a couple times where I've seen projects come up where I've only ever stopped backing a project that I've supported when what I saw was disingenuous. And that's, I think, the most unfortunate type of thing to run across, although it's going to happen anywhere. It's not like, you know, it's any more or less prevalent on Kickstarter than any other community. But there was, I'm not going to name names specifically, but there was a playing card project a while back that was brought to my attention because somebody, it was Aaron, actually. Aaron and I are both kind of history nuts, and It was a history themed deck project that was really cool. Had like really neat historically themed artwork that turns out was like entirely copied off the internet. Like it was basically stolen and mashed together and presented as being original. And
yeah, I was really interested in that too, and I dropped it as well.
Yeah, so stuff like that's going to happen. You're going to have people that, you know, I've seen people use, you know, I don't know. That's the only time I've ever stopped backing a project, regardless of whether what I thought of the creator. But
yeah, I was pledging a deck and found out that the art was all from some kid's DeviantArt. And it turns out that they had purchased the rights to use the art, but nowhere on the page did they allude to the fact that they were using somebody else's art or anything. And that made me really uncomfortable until... And finally, people brought that to the creator's attention, that people were upset about this, and they finally said something in an update or something, but at that point, I already had a bad feeling about it, just because it was like, why were you so shady about this in the first place?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, even if you're not being shady, if it feels shady,
right,
I'm going to jump ship.
On the flip side of that, I had a musical guy that I was backing who, I mean, after watching the video, you could tell how genuine he was. And I actually threw more money at him than my wife had originally wanted me to, just because he was so, I mean, so there. And, I mean, he and I actually chatted back and forth via messages. So I think communication during a Kickstarter is probably one of the most important things, as at least from a backer's perspective, that you can have. Like, I messaged, we were talking about Dwarven Forge earlier, and I sent him a message, asked the question, and within a day, I got a message back about it. And, I mean, they've got, 3,000 or 4,000 backers at this point in time. So that communication is one of those things that I think is very important, at least from a person who purchases things standpoint.
Well, and that's a quantifiable metric. Like, if you look at KickTrack, which is a friend of mine, Adam Clark, runs a site called KickTrack, which tracks metrics of Kickstarters, including backers per day, how much money they make, so forth. It's like a toolkit for project creators to be able to track the progress of their project. But if you track the amount of interactivity, you know, comments and remarks going back and forth, updates being posted, like, there's a really clear parallel between the amount of, you know, backer involvement and how well a project's doing. So yeah, man, like it's, I don't know. It's one of those things you wish more creators would get, because it kind of hurts them in the long run if they don't. I don't know. There's been a lot of great projects that have been killed because the people running them didn't either have the time or didn't really know how to do the outreach for it.
Well, a lot of people don't understand that doing a Kickstarter, running a Kickstarter, is like having another full-time job. And if you already have a full-time job, it's like having two full-time jobs. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work to run a Kickstarter.
Yep.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's why you have a team.
It's a crap ton of work. It is, but it's also like, I don't know. If you actually enjoy interacting with people, it can be. I mean, it's amazingly fun too.
It's so much fun, but it is also so much work, and you know, just constantly. Like I was doing the project with a producer who's done independent films, and she's like, I had no idea that I would be on the internet all the time. Like, yeah, you're on the internet all the time. She's like, this is crazy.
It's, I don't know, it also depends, too, on, like, the attitude you take with your people. Like, I've been a part of a lot of projects, and if you take this combative, like, oh, they're all jerks, and
right.
Like, I call it, like, the tech support outlook, where everybody that calls you or messages you is just, you know, a pain in the butt. If you take that attitude, it's going to make it a grind. It's going to be a horrible grind, and you're not going to want to do anything, and you don't want to talk to anyone.
Right.
But, like, everybody that I've, and I'm not exaggerating, like, I have not had a person who has messaged me as part of Writhing Dark or anything that has been anything less than pleasant to deal with. And granted,
I have gotten a few.
I'm not going to put it. I mean, that's just good luck, but if you take it on faith that sometimes people are going to have bad days, and maybe on a bad day some guy's going to write you and say something that he, under no circumstances, would normally say, and engage with that person, and most of the time, you know, even a crappy comment's going to end up being positive.
Right. It's more, for me, whenever I talk to clients, it's always more of, investing time. Like, you know, there's so much to do while you're running a Kickstarter. You have to write updates, you have to comment and talk to people, and it's a lot of times it's fun work, but it's a lot of work. You know, you have to send out emails, you have to be in contact with other Kickstarters, and I think some people just don't understand the amount of marketing you have to do when you're running a Kickstarter. Some people just think, I set this thing up and I can leave for a couple days and leave it alone.
Well, you can, but that doesn't mean that it'll fund.
Right.
Yeah, and Kristen says, about taking backer comments, Kristen from YouTube says, if you take backer comments and input into consideration, it seems more of a customer service issue. And a lot of people don't, I mean, I think that's a valid point, because at what point, you know, how are you supposed to view the people that are backing your Kickstarter project? Are they, you know, it really depends on what kind of project you're running. If you're running a project like I do, they're collaborators, but for some people, like we've said, it's kind of a pre-order mechanism, so you have to either treat them as people who are, you know, an integral part of the project, or as customers that you're trying to sell something to. But either way, you got to communicate with them. And wow, I totally shut you guys down with that way adult. You let me know.
Whoa.
Any other cool projects or anything else? Like any types?
We forgot about Sushi Wallet.
Oh, is... right. Yep. I thought somebody had mentioned that, so that's why I didn't mention it.
Is that Nat Iwata's sister? Or...
Yes.
Sister and wife. I think they're both working on it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's really this is their cool. relaunch, yeah. And it totally funded.
They're two different people, right?
Yes, sister and
yes,
the wife.
Yes, they're two different women.
Right. The sister is not the wife.
Oh my god! Whoa, what?
Guys.
No, inappropriate.
The sushi wallet is this really cool minimalistic wallet that is awesome, and you guys should all go back it because it's a low price point for what they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun, and I love the design of it.
Yeah, it's really good looking.
It's one of those great examples of she didn't fund the first time, and she learned a lot about Kickstarter, and she came back strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she's really, really pleasant.
She is.
Yeah, and Nat, guys, if you're not familiar with Nat Iwata, he's done Steampunk Pirates, Steampunk Cthulhu, Orcs and Elves, playing card decks.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a funner, lighter illustrative style. He actually also did a children's book too, didn't he? The Steampunk Alphabet?
Yeah, the Alphabet book.
So lots of steampunk.
Yeah, but this the Sushi Wallet is definitely one of the ones where I would have funded it anyway because of its relation to Nat. And then when I got there, I'm like, wow, this is actually really cool. And I totally want one for reals.
Yeah,
I really love minimalist wallets. So,
I saw,
and it's a really good looking one.
Yeah,
I saw Tro and Lucian back in, and so I did.
Well, you know, good thing about the Wayward Backer that we kind of covered in the beginning is that we all came together and we like to share projects that we all have similar interests to, mm-hmm. And I feel like that is also a part of the actual community that we've created as just people who enjoy investing money in other artists and in, you know, people that we can trust and just supporting them. So
yeah, we've had some really great discussions about how to find good Kickstarters and what makes a good Kickstarter and warning people about people that we know are scammers and having fulfilled things. And it's been really interesting to listen to people discuss. Like, we had a whole thing about what do you back and why do you back playing cards, and that discussion was really deep and meaningful and surprising to me because I'm not really a card collector, and a lot of these people are. I was like, oh yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, we've also had you know, people post up links to Kickstarters where they weren't sure if they wanted to back them or not because of the creator, because they weren't sure if it was like possibly shady. Mm-hmm. And it's just nice having that kind of resource where people can come and discuss with one another about, you know, what they feel towards the project and, you know, kind of see if it is something that they feel comfortable backing because other people have also given their input towards it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really enjoyed that kind of communication that we've had too.
Yeah, I mean, case in point was that, you know, when we were talking about it, Aaron actually brought it to my attention mm-hmm. We started looking at it together. But it's happened before, and a lot of times, the biggest horror story with Kickstarter is the Kickstarter that doesn't fulfill, or the guy who goes in for like $100-$200 and doesn't get anything for it, you know. And you're right, having those people there to kind of, even if it's not really, you know, effective, having mm-hmm. the people that are there to help you research it, you know, you may actually just save yourself some money and get the money to the people who actually need to use it to do what they say they're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, We have, so Tro, Tabs, did you want to, were we going to talk about some stuff that you were doing, like the future project stuff?
Something's coming. There you go.
What about the other thing that's coming?
Uh-oh.
What other Tail? Thing?
Tail?
Oh, Tail. There's this thing called Tail coming. It's amazing.
Have.
What?
Things and stuff.
Oh,
you got it. Can you at least tease a little bit of it, Tabs?
Nope.
No?
No. I have a Jack the Kitten book coming.
A Jack the Kitten book. And you finished your thesis, which I'm doing an illustration for, right?
Yes, I did.
Right. I will actually share that illustration.
That's what that's for?
Yeah. I'm publishing my thesis on vampires. It's how vampires have gone from being villains to heroes in literature and TV. So
that explains the drawing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good drawing.
Yes. It was a very fun thesis to do. I did it for my MFA project.
Nice.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to put that together?
My thesis?
Yeah.
Forever.
6 months.
For all the times?
Yeah. I read a lot. Read and watched a lot of TV.
Here's the illustration, guys. It's not quite done yet, but we're getting there. We got to put text in it for her, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's going to be available as an ebook.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So at the very least, you'll have my cool, campy Nosferatu vampire-y thingy on the front of it.
He's not campy. He's amazing. Look at him.
He looks pretty awesome.
He looks pretty angry.
He's very angry.
Well, he's a vampire.
Yeah.
I didn't order any pizza.
It was really interesting because we were sitting around talking about what I could do, and I had a bunch of ideas for my thesis, and I said, you know, and it really kind of bugs me that the vampires are soft and cuddly these days. And how did that happen? So I go all the way back to the beginnings of the vampire myth thousands of years ago and up until modern day. I end with True Blood.
Yeah, it is kind of, I mean, I think the sparkly vampire is probably the epitome of that for me.
Huh.
But yeah, definitely, he looks like he's upset that
I didn't order room service.
It's really interesting too because it goes from kind of the Wuthering Heights, you know, emo boyfriend to translating that into vampires, which is kind of an interesting shift into their development.
Yeah. Is there garlic on that pizza?
That happened. I mean, it kind of started, I don't know, like in the 1800s, right? There was a couple of novels that had vampires as being kind of like gothic heroes, and then you had Dracula.
It started off with just making them noble, you know, like gentlemen. So they're still scary and deformed and awful, but they're gentlemen, so they're kind of cool. Then I go through like making them human-ish. So you have Anne Rice and all that, and then you know making them funny, which you have Benuncula, and then making them half-human, so you have Blade and Vampire D. And then making them boyfriends basically is where we got the hero ones. You made it for them, like their main thrust is for the girl. Like we're gonna be good because we're in love with a blonde, basically. And it's always blonde, which I thought was interesting. And then we go to I'm gonna be good because I wanna be good.
Right on. So Tro, you got any are you working on you guys just finished up the Dunwich Horror for the Littlest Lovecraft? Well not
yes. Well the Kickstarter ended and right now we're basically going through production mode and ordering of extras mode. The only thing that's coming up is one that I'm advising on, which is Whispers from the Shadows, which is a series of short films based on stories from the Lovecraft e-zine.
Is that what you were talking about that was associated with the Lovecraft Film Festival?
No. The Lovecraft Film Festival was... It has its own Kickstarter, and they had run a microfiction contest as part of the film festival, which will be in, I believe, 2 weeks. And, yeah, I was selected to be there in their book.
That's pretty cool. Once we figure out where to get it, you'll have to let us know because, I mean, you obviously helped me with my anthology, but you're something of an author yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As is evidenced by the fact that you were able
that to, I write books.
Yeah, you know,
writing
about stuff.
Yeah, those books.
So yeah, cool. And the Tabs is going to have to bail soon. How much longer do you have, Tabs? Har har. No.
We lost her already.
Wow, that was fast. So, she got taken the hell out. So apparently somebody wants her out of here. But anyway, so the last thing we wanted to do before we wrap it up and do the giveaway and see who gets the coin is talk a little bit about the group that brought all this together. So like I said, we're going to be doing it regularly, and we're going to be involving other Kickstarter creators and authors and any hopefully people that I'll be working with, like the guys at Dan Chris Games, specifically Dan Chris, and you know, hopefully some people from like Tasty Minstrel and some other cool places. But I want to talk about the actual group that brought it together. So, and Justine and Aaron are the two people that kind of administrate the group and you know, organize giveaways and do all sorts of cool stuff that kind of make it a community. So, Justine, did you want to talk about a little bit about like Wayward Backers, like where they came from, where you can find it, and all that stuff?
Yeah. So basically, it was sort of discussed in the beginning about how we all came together at Wayward. Basically, during the Name of the Wind Kickstarter that Shane worked on with Albino Dragon, I had really gotten into the project just because of my love for Patrick Rothfuss and Name of the Wind. But as I saw Shane and his hangouts that he was doing while he was working on art, I started getting to know Shane and other backers for the project through the hangouts and through commenting on the actual Kickstarter itself. And as I got to know these people, I realized that once the Kickstarter ended, there wouldn't really be a means to talk to them anymore. So all of that sort of, you know, community that we had formed would just go away at the end of the Kickstarter, and I didn't want that happening. So I suggested making a Facebook group, just because that was the easiest kind of way to bring people together that I knew of, that kind of was minimalist work for me to actually create, just because Facebook sort of does all the hard stuff for you, and, you know, actually sends out messages to everyone so that they can keep track. So I created the group thinking that, oh, it would just be the people that were backing that Kickstarter specifically, and we'd just kind of wait for fulfillment and wait for the product to get to us and be able to talk in the meantime. But since then, it's kind of exploded, literally, into this huge community where everyone supports many Kickstarters now and really just kind of shares their love for all sorts of things that are geeky or nerdy or just in general, you know, things that they're passionate about. And so that's kind of what the group's become, is just a place for everyone to kind of go and be able to communicate with one another about their interests, where they might not be able to actually do that anywhere else. So that's a little bit about how the group's formed and what it's turned into. And we've actually, like Shane's mentioned, had a few creators, like Kickstarter creators, come and join the group and share their projects. But it's definitely a group where we all kind of came together and we've made it a community. So we don't really advocate people joining just to try and sell their product, as we've covered, and how we feel towards Kickstarters personally. But we do support people coming on and getting to know us and then sharing their project so that we can help them out through this community and through their Kickstarter.
And there's been some pretty, there's been some pretty notable people that have joined the group. I mean, for example, Pat Rothfuss did actually at some point during... I forget.
Right at the beginning.
He did. Yeah.
Real close said, to when we found it.
Yeah, I sent him a Facebook message and asked him to join. He was like, why not? So he comes and stalks the group a little bit and harasses us sometimes.
We've had, who else? Brandon Sanderson just joined recently.
Yes, a bunch of different Wayward backers were going to his signings, and they kept giving him, like, little, you know, mementos from Wayward, and he eventually joined because he felt obligated to, and now he actually enjoys the group and shares comments from time to time.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's Kevin Hearn, too.
Yeah, Kevin Hearn also joined.
Iron Druid author.
Nate Taylor, one of the other artists associated with Pat Rothfuss, and awesome dude in his own right, and hopefully he and I are going to be working together some more.
Yes. And Sean Speakman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the editor for Unfettered, who he had works in it, and also Pat had some works in it, as well as Brandon Sanderson, so we're sort of collecting everyone that was in that book.
It's pretty awesome. I mean, just having been... It's kind of humbling having to have even been a small part of putting it together in the first place, but just to see it grow, like, I remember it was a big deal. We were super excited that first, when the Kickstarter first ended, that there was 100 people when we first got the 100th guy, and now it's up over 600 and still growing. So
absolutely, and it's only been 10 months, which I think is really cool that that we've gained 600 members, and there's a fair number of us that are, you know, active on the group, which I appreciate, and even the people who come and just sort of like stalk and look around and just kind of see what's going on in the group, comment from time to time too. So I really enjoy how people that join try to stay a little bit active, and they don't just join to join.
You know, there was a couple points that were kind of telling things for me being part of the group, and it's pretty awesome to see it. But I think the coolest thing was there was a hand, it was a few months ago, it was back when Dark was alive. And at that point, Had said the right as she joined, she's like, "Hi guys, you know, I see these things all the time. I've been part of the group for a couple months, but this is the first time I ever, you know, wanted to try to do this." And that's pretty cool, man. Like when you can, you know, people see these things happening and just get curious about it, and actually, that's what leads them to interact with the community more, I think.
Exactly.
I lurk in every other Facebook group I've ever joined. I don't think I've ever posted in another Facebook group. So I think that says something about Wayward Backers.
Yeah, just it's a different kind of group because in a specific thing. It's just sort of a community where we can all just kind of come and discuss and chat like we were all here in person. It's like we're all just sitting around for a drink, you know, just talking about things that we enjoy. And that's kind of what I like about how the group is formed and become what it is. Because I appreciate that kind of interaction. And that's kind of where it all started anyway, so I'm glad that it's still kept that sort of looseness about it.
But I've talked so much in my actual real life that two of my friends who I game with on Wednesday night have specifically joined because of all the cool things that have happened, from, you know, Pat Rothfuss jumping in on a Hangout at one time, and all the things that, you know, that I've talked about with the various projects that have been brought up, and I show them these Kickstarters, and they're like, "Where did you learn about this from?" And I was like, "The Wayward Backers, man, the Wayward Backers."
In my real life, it's the either the Kickstarter people or the Pat people, which I think is hilarious.
Mine is that geek group.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's fine. You can call them that. They're not just that, but
yeah. You guys made off with my sister.
That sounds kind of fun.
The nice thing about the group too is, and Justine was really talking about the community, but it's a community that definitely supports and gives back.
Exactly, yeah.
Some of the really cool things we do is every month we do a giveaway. You know, signed books by Kevin Hearn, Brandon Sanderson, Robert Kirkman. We have first dibs at stuff, you know, like, which again just makes you feel cool because you're exclusive to that. You know, there's some highly coveted Keldish currency going out there right now that backers are going to have in their hands before the rest of the general public does. Kickstarter stuff that's sent out to us prior to it being common knowledge, and, you know, just a lot of little insider stuff that makes you feel cool.
We have our own logo. So.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing too, is that everybody's so passionate about it that you can find Wayward Backer stuff all over now. Like, you know, there's Wayward Backer embroideries, there's buttons, Tro's made coins. There's awesome bookmarks now.
Well, we also did the dice project.
In keeping with our support of
Kickstarter,
we kickstarted dice. We did like a Kickstarter within a Kickstarter and had our own dice made, which Linda and another member designed all of the logos for.
So. Yeah, it's just it's Wayward Backer stuff there that it's hard to explain a community until you're a part of it as well. But everybody that's, I shouldn't say everybody, nothing's all inclusive or nothing's all encompassing like that, but the majority of people that come in here come in with one expectation of just maybe, you know, hearing a little bit about some Kickstarters or even some project creators who are just coming in to talk about their project, and then they end up finding out that it's something much more than that, that it's something kind of bigger than what they imagined it would be. And again, a creator comes in to talk about his project, and 6 months after his projects ends up finding out that he's still posting on here every day about something of shared interest that everybody likes. So it's special. It's pretty, and I guess, you know, maybe some of you guys are in a lot more groups than I am, but I think it's pretty unique. And even Brandon Sanderson posted that when he was interacting, thought that this was a really unique group of people that came together and stay together, stick together.
It's an interesting phenomenon in the geek culture. Like, I've been a part of groups like the Wayward Backers that are really great and integral, and we're still part of each other's lives years later, but it's hard to find those. It's hard to find ones where people can disagree without, you know, breaking up and never talking again. I think that's what makes us pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm a pretty busy dude, and I have time for precisely zero social life. And so, as strange and unhappy as it may sound, the Wayward Backer kind of constitutes my entire what I pass for social life. So it's an incredibly important outlet for me, because most of the time I'm doing what you're seeing right now. Like, I sit in front of my computer and I draw pictures, and I make Lucian's day generally worse than it was before.
It's just kind of
okay, because I make it better.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's a pretty neat kind of alchemy that you don't generally get. And the cool thing about it is that it continues to endure. Like, that's, things like this sometimes kind of come and go when it's based around a thing, but because we based it around a shared addiction for cool stuff, I think it'll last a lot longer than it otherwise would.
Yeah,
and I think
absolutely.
That's an important thing to remember, is that we're pretty addicted to Kickstarters.
True that.
Yeah.
And being around a bunch of other people that are addicted makes your addiction worse.
You guys are not helpers. This is a group that enables you as well. It's not a group to get away from anything. And there's a lot of cleaning that goes on about just about anything that tickles our fancy.
95% of the time I ask you guys to talk me out of buying something, and I wind up buying four.
Yeah. Because you don't ever ask us not to buy something on the group. Unless you're worried about integrity.
Recovering Kickstarters, but that's like recovering.
The recovering is your wallet, yes. I've gotten that question a lot, and at first it was recovering from the Name of the Wind Kickstarter ending, and now it's become to recovering your wallet because you found other Kickstarters in that process.
That's okay. If you lose your wallet, you can always get one from Nat's sister.
It's true. With the sushi wallet, then could go wrong.
Sweet. Well, guys, thank you for watching, for sharing it with folks that you share stuff with. I've been actually going through really quickly while we're finishing up here and popping in the names of people who actually shared the link or the hashtag on Facebook or Twitter. And we'll do a drawing here to give away the coin. But before we finish up, I wanted to one more time say thank you to everybody in the Wayward Backers and everybody else who watched for making Writhing Dark as much of a success as it was. My next project, Tale, which will start, you know, dropping cool stuff and tidbits and art as it comes up, will be launching in June. So hopefully you guys have some money saved up for that. I don't know. That sounds shallow. But...
It's a warning, people. It's a warning to the addicts.
It's a warning to the Wayward Backers.
Pretty much.
Start talking to your spouses and significant others now.
Or don't.
Yeah. Just start squirreling away the money.
Right.
They won't know.
Do you guys have any other things that we wanted to talk about or bring up before we give away free stuff?
Just for all the people that are listening, this is going to be also a podcast, audio podcast. So if you'd like to get in touch, there's links in the show notes to find all the places, and come join us in the Wayward Backers.
Yeah, everyone can join. We just go through and accept people. So if you want to join, just type your name in and we will get to you.
Cool. And just so you guys know who to look for, Justine and Aaron, when you just search Facebook for The Wayward Backer, Home to Recovering Kickstarters, they're the two admins that pop up. So
yes. Just don't try and sell us any sunglasses.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite posts.
We don't let those people in anymore.
Yeah.
Those people.
The quote-unquote people.
Okay, dum da lum drum roll, blah 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 blah. Is blah 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 blah. Oh, why is it taking so long?
That's quicker, a name.
Quicker, Katie Burnside.
Woo!
Yeah. Woo! Katie.
You are getting Katie. Katie. You get the Happy Time Fun Cthulhu coin.
Yay! Katie.
I'm going to send you this one that already has a little thing for the chain I attached to it.
Nice. Who is also a wayward backer.
Awesome. Yes, Caddy is a wayward backer. She's fond of duck lips, peace signs, and...
yeah.
And taking selfies in the car.
Yes.
So thanks again for watching, guys. There was a lot of you watching, so hopefully, like I said, it's going to be every Thursday this time. So next time we're going to actually try to have some Kickstarter creators on here with us to talk about their projects and maybe shine a light on some stuff you otherwise would miss. But till then, thanks for watching.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Keep spending money.
Grr.
Gah.
Yay, me.